85, I'm good.
Ye humble souls approach your God with songs of sacred praise, for he is good, immensely good, and kind are all his ways. All nature owns his guardian care, in him we live and move, but though we're bid of fish declare the wonders of his love. He gave his son, his only son, to ransom rebel world. His here he makes his goodness known in its diviner form. To this dear refuge, Lord, we come. His here our hope rely, of safe defense,
but holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fades to light his place, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope is high, sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the Son, sinking sand, all Yeah.
Continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching, we hope. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out and worship with us today. We have a card that we would like to read from Sister Janie Hilton. Brothers and sisters, thanks for the prayers, visits, and friendship we received when my brother passed away. Also, thanks for the beautiful flower arrangement the church sent. God bless you all, Janie and Hilton Haney. And also, since her brother passed away just this past week, just 3 days ago, wasn't it? Thursday, her nephew, this brother's son that was buried, was shot and killed in a family argument. I guess they were the neighbors.
He and his mother-in-law and a deputy sheriff were killed. And two, another deputy sheriff and the man that did the killing is in hospital in Winston. They think that they will recover, but
yeah.
Sad thing.
Yeah. This had been kind of a feud going on between these two neighbors for a good while, and this man shot three in the family, and then one of the men's son, I believe he was, a deputy, came to arrest the man, and he shot him, and the deputy shot him. They're in the hospital, so there's three dead and two in the hospital. It's all happened in Kernersville last Thursday. And the young man was Sister Jane's nephew, the son of the man that was just buried last week, 2 weeks ago now. So we have all manners of sickness and sadness that we face all the time, seems like. But we are thankful that we are here and able to be here and have enough health and peace of mind that we want to come and still render worship and praise and thanksgiving to God for his many mercies and blessings. As the Sister Marie says that Sister Louise and Brother McBride Stanley are doing about the same, and as they have been for the last few months, I guess. So they've had a real bout of sickness and going to the hospital, but we're glad that at least they're doing fairly well now. Is there any other sickness that we need to make mention of or to know of? I know Sister Mabel's having a lot of trouble with her back, but she's here today and we're glad for that. Brother Keith, you have a hymn.
175.
Number 175 in the old school hymnal. And you may stand as we sing. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, we covet an interest in your prayers. We need the prayers of those we love, and we need the prayers of our brethren and sisters as we endeavor to fight the good fight of faith, and in order to approach the throne of grace, we certainly need all the collective prayer that we have at our disposal. So we covet an interest in your prayers as we endeavor to pray and to try to preach. So sing, brethren, when you're ready.
There is a place of
quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place from the heart of God. Hold us to wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God.
Oh Jesus,
blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God.
Oh Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us
to wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in humble submission to Thee, our Heavenly Father, thanking Thee, our Father, for the privilege of coming to Thee and calling Thee our Heavenly Father. We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy beloved Son and our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died an atoning death that we might be redeemed from our sins and iniquities and be brought again into Thy favor and into Thy presence. How thankful we are, dear Father, and our blessed Lord and Master, for such wonderful grace and mercy as we feel to have received from Thy presence. And we thank Thee, our Father and blessed Lord, who promised when Thou was here that when Thou didst return to the heaven from which Thou came, that Thou would pray to the Father and He would send the Holy Spirit into the world, and Thou would not leave us alone to fight the battles here in this world, but Thou would send a comforter to be with us and be a teacher and a guide and a comforter to us in this present low ground of sin and sorrow. And Father, how we thank Thee for all of Thy tender mercies, for the rich blessings that we have received all the days of our life, realizing that we come forth from the womb speaking lies and alienated and separated from Thee by reason of our sins and sinful nature. And yet in mercy, if not deceived, O Lord, Thou hast drawn us to Thyself, has quickened us from a deadness of sin, and give us a heart of flesh that we might call upon Thee and call Thee our Father. And we thank Thee, dear Lord, that Thou not only art Thou our Lord and Master, but Thou art a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and one, O Lord, that we can call upon and feel to be with us in all of our trials and temptations, seeing that Thou was tempted in all points like unto us. Thanking Thee, O blessed Spirit, that Thou bearest witness with our spirit and to the word of truth, that we might have it as our very own. And dear Lord, we thank You for Thy church and for Thy dear brethren and sisters that we've met on this side of eternity, for the fellowship that we enjoy together, for the unity, dear Lord, in the Spirit and the bonds of peace that unite us together, that in this cruel and sinful world that we feel to be in thy family and have the support, dear Lord, of one another. Thank thee, O Lord, for the church here at Reedsville for this day. Thank thee for thy providential grace that has spared us once more, that we might assemble ourselves together in the bonds of peace and in the spirit of unity, and to worship and to praise thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou will receive our praise and our worship, that we might draw nigh unto thee, and that we might, O Lord, be acceptable in thy sight. We pray, Lord, for the sick and the afflicted and the aged and the infirmed and all that's asked an interest in our prayers. We pray for our rulers and our leaders, that they might, O Lord, find favor from thee by seeking favor to thee and from thee. We pray, O Lord, for our sons and daughters and those that's dedicated their lives to defending our freedoms on foreign soils. Lord, we pray that thou would be with them. Grant them, O Lord, victory over our enemies who would destroy thee and who despise thy name. Lord, we pray for thy name's sake and righteousness' sake, that thou would hear our prayer and protect those, O Lord, that trust in thee. For these mercies and blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We were trying to center our thoughts this morning on something. We have just spent a week at the coast and had a very wonderful time. Our youngest son went with us, and he and I fished every day. We had one shower on Friday, the last day, and the rest of the time, well, we had 2 days of strong wind, but it was still pleasant as far as the sunshine and temperature. But we didn't catch any fish until the last day. And then both of us caught two of the biggest black bass we've ever caught. So that made the efforts, all the efforts worthwhile. But we thoroughly enjoyed our visit and our stay. It's always, what can you say, when you see the ocean and the mighty waves and the abundance of the water, it just impresses my mind in a way of the greatness and the power of God. And I was in the service during World War II for 3 years. I was overseas 3 years and 8 days aboard a destroyer all that time. I've been as long as 60 days without seeing land. So I know what the water looks like. And it's always kind of awe-inspiring to think of the greatness of God, all the creatures that are in the sea. In the Marianas Trench, the water is 7 miles deep. And in that particular place, you can see the Himalayan mountains, and they are 5 miles high. And they say in the trench, there's a mountain range that's 5 miles high right below us in the water. So it's amazing. You think about that, it's just awe-inspiring. And how that the earth is 3/5 water, I believe, is covered with 3/5 of the area of the earth is covered in water. And if it wasn't, why, the earth would just be parched from the sun. And so there's a balance there that is just right. If it was too much earth, it would just be all barren and desert. And if it was too much water, why, then there wouldn't be enough land arable space there to afford the habitation of so many people. So the Lord, in his wisdom and knowledge, created the earth and the fullness thereof, and has provided for all of his creatures. And it's amazing things. I think a whole lot of what Elder Sammy Bryant said one time. He said that he lived close to Atlanta, Georgia, and they were about to have to close the zoo. They had a big zoo there, but said it was so expensive to feed the animals, to get enough food for all the different animals. They had bears and lions and giraffes, and it takes a lot of food to feed big animals, elephants. And he said that you think about all the thousands that there are on the earth, and the Lord has no problem feeding them at all. He provides for all of them. And but man has a terrible time just feeding a few in captivity. So the wisdom and the knowledge of God is displayed in so many ways in nature. But yet nature doesn't tell you anything about redemption. And that's the most glorious news that man can obtain from any source. But we can admire the ocean and the mountain ranges and the animals and the creatures and their habits, but it doesn't say a thing about redemption. And the Bible, of course, tells us about our redemption. It tells us how that God made us upright and good, and he pronounced us as being very good. But then, through the temptation of Satan, we sinned and became alienated from God. But God did not despise us or destroy us, which he could easily have done, and created him a new man. But he rather redeemed us himself, became a man, was partaker of flesh and blood, and was in all points tempted, just as we are tempted, and yet without sin. So in order to redeem us from the curse of the law, he became a man and fell under the curse of the law. And we read that he was made a curse. That is, that God fulfilled the curse of the law in him, that he might forgive us of our sins for transgressing the law. And so what a wonderful book we have in the Bible that gives us the history of mankind and tells us from whence we came and from whence we long to go. And in this 8th chapter of Romans, it tells us much about our hope in Christ. But it starts out, says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So he says that in what the law could not do, he sent his Son to do. And since the law could not give us life, but it pronounces death on those who do not keep the law. So being made a curse by the law, being condemned by the law, we stand condemned and without redemption. That's where we would be, and justly so. God being just, he would, of course, have to condemn those that violate his law. He couldn't overlook it. He just couldn't sweep it under the rug and hide it. God is righteous, and God is just, God is holy, but he's also merciful and full of grace. And that's where the Lord Jesus comes in. So therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And some saying, there's always been a great controversy between the lovers of grace and the lovers of free will as to just what that verse means. And does it mean that there's no condemnation to us if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh? Is it saying that it's conditional? Or is it just making a statement that it is a fact? And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of life that is in Christ Jesus, to those that have received that free gift, they are no longer under the law of death and condemnation. And those that are under the law of the Spirit walk after the Spirit, and those that are under the law of the cardinal commandment of the flesh walk after the flesh. And he goes on to develop that. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And so Christ, his Son, became flesh, that he might be condemned sin in the flesh. We read that he was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when Christ lived to fulfill the law as our substitute, he lived a vicarious life in fulfilling the law, the righteousness that he wrought out in doing that is imputed to his people. And so he fulfilled the law on our behalf. And then the law that we transgressed, he suffered the penalties for it, and the sin in which we conduct when we transgress the law was transferred or imputed to him. So he was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he became sin, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So he sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. Though he took on flesh and looked just like another man, yet he was not like other men. To see him walk and talk, the Jews, they said, is not this Joseph's son? Nope, don't we know his brothers? and his sisters, they saw him only as a man. But he was not just another man. He was the Son of God, and he was without sin. And therein he was a different species altogether from us, because there was no other man that's ever walked on the face of the earth that is without sin. After Adam was created without sin, and after he sinned and transgressed the law, there's not been another man that's walked on the earth without sin, without a sinful nature. But here we have one who is a different, just a different race altogether. Although he looks just like the rest of us, yet he is a man without sin. And it's just something that we are totally unacquainted with. Because David said that I was conceived in sin and brought forth from the womb speaking lies. And